Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So we had a club Six Eyes prior to the show, but hey, that's how we all got here, behind closed doors. So thank you for our parents being behind closed doors to have us. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. That's 424-243-9617. Welcome, America, surrounding city and states, faraway countries. Hello, world, and welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right, Six.
I'm a 10.
We're doing wonderful.
Hello.
Doing fine.
I'm doing amazing.
Now, I'm doing a 10, Six.
What are you people doing today?
We're ready for the gospel show. That's what we're ready for.
Yeah,
praise
man.
Lord,
come
let's
on.
Go.
Praise the Lord. I'm here.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Sound like we came straight out the club, straight into church. Praise
Amen.
God.
What are you all doing?
Hopefully we're being delivered.
Amen.
Wait for the rapture of the church. Yeah.
That must have been that bad spirit in control of the board. I'm like, what? So I logged in. I don't know what happened.
Me neither.
Amen.
But we're here now. We're ready
get
to get
started. Right. Bless the name of the Lord. What?
No, I'm making sure I'm unmuted. Am I unmuted?
I can hear you.
All right. Thank you.
That means you heard me.
Yes, I did.
Mrs. Bonnet, hi, sweetheart.
Hi. How you doing?
We're on topic.
Roof.
Praise the Lord.
That's
God bless
good.
You. Lady Wolfgang, God bless you.
What are y'all doing?
We're good, Dr. Six.
Praising the Lord.
Turn your boogie gospel music on. Praise the Lord. We good.
Well, we actually had a club this size, but welcome everybody to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. I was ready to intro the show. Somebody muted my mic.
We did hear you.
Yeah, we heard you the whole time.
So hopefully I have control of the board now, and we'll get this show started. We're going to go ahead. I think everyone has spoken. If I miss speaking to you, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We have First Lady Bonnet, Pastor Bonnet, Missionary Ken, Sister Ruth, Six Eyes, and if I missed anybody, forgive me. But
so
we're going to go ahead and
Bob.
Get this show started. We're going to open up with an opening prayer.
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
Not sure if Missionary Ken, take the floor, please.
All righty. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you just touch this program, Lord Jesus. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. Have your perfect will and way, Lord Jesus, especially in that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice in them, in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen.
Now we've got our scripture reading to get in here. Amen.
This is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face and into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And this was Luke 10, verses 1 through 9. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
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 Hello, First Lady. How are you?
Amen. Lady Bonnet, Brother Six.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, ma'am?
Amen.
Are you back, or are you still out of town?
I'm back. I just got back yesterday.
All right, back now. That's why it sounds like that. Okay. I hear the happiness.
No, I sound good. I'm not at the house.
I know. I just said it. I said she's back, and you're happy. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm happy. But I ain't at the house right now. I be not home. I be at my meeting place. I have a meeting at a certain time here, and so I came so I can position myself so I can minister. And
amen.
When our meeting starts, I'll be able to go and go over to the meeting. We're going to be having a we're getting ready for our community picnic, and we're looking at the park and to see how we're going to set it up so that, because it's a national park, Overton is a national park as well, and it's very big, and so we're just here to scope out what we have to do so that we can have a wonderful event to be a blessing to so many people and preach the gospel.
That's huge. Well, I would like to do the imaging for that, so let me know how we can bring this event to life with my voice. Amen. And we'll broadcast here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen.
All right.
Now, since last time I spoke to you, we need to say a prayer for Road. You call her Rose, but it's actually Road out of Jersey. She lost her mom on Mother's Day. And
sorry to hear that.
And the sad thing about it is she had already put up the Mother's Day post before she found out her mom had passed. And the only way she found out is her niece needed the charger. She said, go up to Nana's room and get the charger. And when they went up there, they thought she had passed on. But Road was down there making her Mother's Day dinner. She wanted greens and ribs. And that's what she was down there doing. So we just want to send out our thoughts and prayers with her at this difficult time. Amen.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be, although Mother's Day, the actual date changes based on that particular Sunday. In May, but this was always Mother's Day will always be a bittersweet, if you would, for her in that. So we definitely want to pray for her and the family.
Absolutely.
Because that's because we are human with just so many different types of emotions, that would be one that would definitely linger in the heart.
Yes.
So I want to pray her peace. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for the Road family. Lord God, you know their names. You know each one by one, name by name. We lift them up before you, Lord God, that you would just condition their hearts to endure this season of hardship and bring peace in them, that they're not bickering amongst themselves about menial and small matters, but they are working together as a family, allow the fellowship they once shared with the passing of Rose's mother, allow that to be their glue to continue relationships with one with another. Allow them to be able to pick up the broken pieces and mend their tomorrow. And God, as you do it, Lord, it will bring glory to your name. It will bring praise to your name. And we just pray now that those that are not saved in that family will just receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will accept your precious blood for the redemption of their sins, the redemption in their lives. And we thank you now, Father. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. and amen.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Well, since y'all have me talking, I know you got some music coming, and I want to go ahead and minister.
Well, brother, hey, Pastor, you are top billing over music. I mean, this is your
Amen. Well, I want to say greetings to everyone, each of you in your respective places. God bless you, and yes, even you. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak life into your being. I pray today that something that I say, something that is read in the scripture, will motivate you, will encourage you, not only to receive God as your personal Lord and Savior, but to go and receive all that God has for you. If you knew that there was $1 million that had your name on it, doesn't matter how many hoops you had to jump through, it doesn't matter how many ladders you had to climb, you will begin to do each one of those tasks one by one because you knew there was something with your name on it. Well, there's something that God has exactly for you with your name on it that is far valuable than $1 million. It brings more peace than money. It brings more victory than winning any contest. There's something that God has uniquely designed for your life. Hear what the scripture says. He said, I know my thoughts towards you, declared the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a expected end. One translation says, a hope and a future. What we need in times of hardship, what we need in times of uncertainty is hope for the future. What we need is someone to assure us that this too struggle shall pass. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us on the inside where we have been broken, where tears run down, where sadness comes. We need something that will restore in us joy that seems like my everyday life is pulling a little bit by little bit by little bit away from me. But when you know that Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When you know that he did it so we can have victory, he did it so that we can celebrate victory. See, it doesn't matter in a basketball game who scores the winning basket. All that matters is that that team wins. And because the team won, every member of the team can celebrate. You may be out on injury reserves, but your team won. Guess what? You can celebrate. Why? Because the victory belongs to the team. Well, I come today to tell you that I'm on Team Jesus. And Team Jesus always wins. It may seem like you're down right now, but I read the end of the book. I read the end, and the end tells us that this has already been fixed. It's been fixed for our victorious win. There's a day that you're going to be able to rejoice in the victory circle. That day could be today. That day can start today. you can start celebrating now. Team gets so far ahead that they begin to celebrate even before the game is over. There may be some things in your life that you still got to go through. But when you know that you got the best player in the industry on your team, and he just refused to lose, you can celebrate already. So I encourage you today, you that are born again, you that are a believer in Christ, that have received him as your own, you that know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you that know that you are a Christian, that you are a child of the Most High God, to you, I say, celebrate now. The victory is yours now. You can celebrate because we have the victory. He's already said, be of a good cheer, for he have overcome the world. So because he did it, we can celebrate because we are on his team. Ooh-wee, that's good all by itself. That's good by itself where I preach one note or not. That's good just by itself. But I got some things to encourage you with. Oftentimes I like to add to many of you my men's fellowship meeting. And I like to adapt it so that it not only just applies to men, but it applies to believers of God by himself. And so since you are a believer, it applies just what he has to say to you. Amen. It applies to you. I want to talk today, and I use symbolism. Most people, some have it, some need it, some seen it, don't know what to do with it. But everybody needs somebody in the family that knows how to use some tools, that will have a toolbox. Sometimes when you are in a neighborhood or community and there's some tools you may need, you don't have it, but you know your neighbor has it. And every now and then you have to get up and go over to John's house and knock on the door and say, John, hey, let me borrow your hammer today. We have to ask John, let me borrow this or let me borrow that, and I bring it right back. But every now and then, you're the one that people keep coming to borrow this and that, because you have developed your toolbox. There's some things in life that we have to learn to add to our toolbox. If I begin to talk about a toolbox, most of us don't know all the things that may need to be in the toolbox. That's right. If I ask you, if I gave you just the toolbox itself, you're like, okay, what's this for? It's a box. It got some trays in it. And what do I do with it? And I tell you, to begin to add tools to it that will benefit you in life. Why? Because there's coming a day where there's a panel that's going to come loose in your house. You don't want to have to go and just get someone to come, a carpenter to come and give you an estimate on how to fix this and how to fix that, when you can just go to your toolbox, take out an additional nail and grab your hammer and go over to that where that panel is and take it and in a sure spot, begin to hammer that nail and place that panel back in its position. There's some things that we have to build in life. Amen. Some people, hobbies, and in your hobby, you may be building Model Ts, you know, airplanes and different things. It used to be a set, you can go and get it. But you had to have these little screwdrivers in order to get everything. And these little pliers, you had to have just the right tools to put together these little kits so that you could enjoy these hobbies. There's some things that happen to that people that own their own cars. You know, your car may get a flat, and if you don't have the right tools, you're not going to be able to remove that tire and put on the replacement, to put on the spare. You're not going to be able to do that if you don't have the right tools. Well, it seems to me that if you're going to build anything, you know, if you had to build you a house, oh, yeah, you can't go and build a house without a hammer and nails. You can't build a house without saws to cut the wood. And you need a tape measure to measure to make sure that what you're putting is the right length. There's some things that you're going to have to bring it all together. Otherwise, it'll be in total chaos. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help develop our toolbox. That's right, our toolbox. The toolbox is our vessel. And the tools that go in that toolbox we get from the Holy Spirit. Emphasis all month long has been on the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? What kind of ministry does he have within me? I want to give you four particular ministries that the Holy Spirit does within each one of us. Ministry is finding a need and meeting it. What'd you say, preacher? Thank you for asking. I'll repeat it. Ministry, the word ministry, ministry is defined by finding a need. Finding a need. You find something by looking. Help, Lord. Finding a need and meeting it. That means it's not good enough for you to point out the issues and bring no solution. But with the issues must come solution on repairing or developing the issues so that there's wholeness. What does the scripture tells us? If you catch your brethren in a fault, if, conditional, you, somebody observant in fellowship, see your brethren in error. You, not somebody else. You who saw it, who sees it, who identify with the condition. You that are spiritual, and since this is from the Holy Bible, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You that are spiritual, restore. Wait a minute. Restore, that means something has been taken. Because all of us should be doing good things. All of us are to be behaving a certain way. And if by chance I see that the behavior is not that speaks of God or godliness, that behavior is not one that represent Christ well. Because we have a relationship, it is my job to restore. Why? Because after all, the Holy Spirit was already telling you you're wrong, was already telling you there's a better way. The Holy Spirit within you was already letting you know this action is not pleasing to God. Now, let me be clear. When you hear the Holy Spirit say to you that God is not pleased with what you have done, please stop. Don't take this as God hates you. Please stop. Stop. Do not take when you hear the Holy Spirit say, this is not of God, mean God don't want to have nothing to do with you. No. These things came so that you were maintained fellowship with God. Why? Because light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. And sin is disobedience to God, which is darkness. And when we do things that are darkness, how can we fellowship with light? We cannot. It doesn't mean God don't love us, but it do mean he's not pleased with our action. Make no mistake about it. With everything that is holy, God hates sin. I'm going to say it again. God hates sin. But God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. So when you see somebody that ain't got it together, don't want to go to church, don't think that God hates them. No. But God so loved the world that he gave his own. That means while we was a mess in the middle of a mess, when we was no good for anybody or anything, loved us. And if he loved us, he loved them. So let's move. The Holy Spirit job is to ensure that we can have fellowship. So here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number one, he creates a godly character within us. In other words, he's telling us how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to treat people in general. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he helps to create in us. Stop thinking about what he needs to do in somebody else, because he needs to do it in us. He needs to do it in me. He needs to do it in me first, so that you can see he has done it in me and trust him to do it in you. So the Holy Spirit creates godly character in us. Don't tell me you have the Holy Spirit and you're ungodly. You're nasty to folks. You don't do nothing to help the church. The conversation is always about me, myself, and I. That is not the godly character that God would develop in us through his Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is giving us order, giving. He gives us order. He gives us order, not orders as if I want a cheeseburger and some fries. Nah, he's not. No, he gives us order. He put our life, which is out of order. Because usually you go to, especially when you say, I want to build me a cabin, you know, extra for my clothing. And you go to Wally World and you get one of these kits that's a cabinet to put your clothes in, and you see the picture, and you see the doors on it, and you see the extra dresser, the drawers on there, and you see these things, you say, oh, I can use that. I can put this there, I can put that. And you see the finished work. But in this great big old box that's heavy, and life sometimes seems great and big to us, and oftentimes the load seems very heavy. Am I preaching to somebody? Am I helping somebody? I pray I am. And you open up the box, and all you see is these pieces of wood and these different bags with different bolts and screws in it, and every now and then you may get one that have an unusual tool. We call it Allen wrench. You may have one that have a little wrench, a set wrench, not an adjustable wrench, but one that's set and set to adjust things to that one bolt. So they didn't assume, and it may say some. It may say you may need a screwdriver, but do not use a drill. Now they telling you these things because they know all tools is not for all matters. Some tools you can use will make things worse. And some tools you have to have in order to make things fit. So it's very important that I have the right tools in my life. So the Holy Spirit ministry is, again, number one, is to create a godly character within us. Number two, giving us order. So in that box, we are opening up and we see a piece of paper and it says, read before assembly. Oh, man, this is where we get in trouble at. This is how we truly get in trouble. I don't need no stinking instructions. I can look at it and do it myself. Mm-hmm. And when we're done, we have several screws that we never used. And we try to figure out why this opening that way instead of the other way. Because we tried to do it without reading the instructions. Wow! Ain't that like, I know that's broken English, isn't that like the believer? We think we can build a life without God. God! He gave us the book. But the book text. He said, this is how you're going to know my character so you can line up with me. This is how you're going to know how to live day to day. I'm going to give you all these examples. I'm going to give you the greatest example on what to look like. That's my son, because he reflects me. It is my desire that you also reflect me, but you must read first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and conjunction righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What? I didn't have this little set wrench in my toolbox, but it came with the package. I didn't have this little Allen wrench in my toolbox. I got a set, but it's not like this one. And why this one got six heads instead of five like the ones I have? Because it's a set tool for a set screw to do a particular purpose. So do we have the right tools in our toolbox? The Holy Spirit gives us order. He tells us what to do, how to do. And he removes chaos, because when there's order, because most of us, you know, we take everything out the box. We start pulling stuff all the way, and it's chaos. But when we look at the paper, when we read the book, when we read the Bible, as we look at all these different pieces, it began to tell us we need this many A's, we need this B and this C and this B, and we must have this and we must have that. And it tells us all the pieces that we need to build this cabinet. And so after they tell us all the pieces that we need to build this cabinet, it began to tell us what parts the cabinet we need to deal first. I can't start assembling the doors until I got the frame structure. So it gives us a direct order on what to build first. Many people go and get married. Later on in marriage, they're praying and asking God to come in and help. But they didn't bring God in the beginning of their marriage. They didn't want God to have anything to do. He didn't receive an invitation, but now they want him to come in and intervene. Now, I'm not saying to you at no point will he intervene, but I am saying, why should he? Why should I come and fix the mess you made when I didn't make it? What sense did that make, preacher? Well, let me be clear with you. To us parents that have children, the house belonged to us. We assigned a room to one of our children. And some may have to share a room depending on the size of the family. But it may be their room, but you begin to teach them as they were growing, listen, your dirty clothes go in the hamper. Your clean clothes go in the dresser drawers. You have to fold them. This is how you do it. You fold this way, that way. You take your socks, you tuck them in. And we begin to show them. And at a point when we see that they understand and get it, we say to them, hey, your room is not clean. Go and clean it up. It's my room. Why I got to clean it up? Because I, who own the house, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. It's my house, and I see it clean. A room. You made me sick. Okay. No phone for you. How you gonna take my cell phone? No, I ain't gonna take it. You can keep it. I'm gonna just click. It has no more function. Yeah, because I pay the bill.
Oh yes.
Matter of fact, let me see your phone. You got a code on here? Did you give me this code? That's my privacy. Oh, hold up, player. Hold up. You in my house, I paid this bill. You have no privacy that I can't see.
Preach it.
Christian, you have no privacy that God cannot see. There's no such thing. Pornography ain't for you to venture in. Mm-hmm. Righteous living is not for you to venture in. Why? Because the Lord is looking at what you do. Unlock this phone and give me the code. And the next time I come to check it, and if the code that I use don't work, your phone won't work no more. Oh, you can play video games, but I'm not even going to give you the password to the Wi-Fi. That's right. Why? Because this is my house.
Come on, Will.
You're under my supervision. And so because you're under my supervision, I have an obligation to make sure you don't let chaos into our order. Ooh, I know y'all don't like that. Let me keep on preaching. Keep on preaching.
Shut it down. That's what you got to do. Amen.
The third ministry is he fills our emptiness. He what? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me my vessel? And he fills it like you went to the gas station. Because he know you need fuel. Why you going to need fuel? Because you're in operation. Well, I got an electric car and still going to need some type of fuel, whether it's electric fuel or gas fuel. Eventually, because of use, that ego go from full to E, from F to E. And when you are on E, you need something to move that needle. Mm-hmm. Most of us are emotionally E. You know why you're emotionally E? Because you use your emotion on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But you only fill up on Sunday. It would be different if you only used that little bit on Monday and that little bit on Tuesday and just so much less on. You can't ride. You can't enjoy the ride. Matter of fact, if you are a person that drives at all, you drive different based on how much gas in the tank. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When your tank is almost on E, you don't need to drive fast too much. No, because you think you may run out before you get to your destination. Because you know the faster you press that gas pedal, it's just running through that carbon, they're running through that that system. It's just that gas is being drunk. Sometimes in life, we want to live fast, but we're only empty. Then we find ourselves on the side of the road wondering why it won't start. You're out of gas. A tool that you don't have in the toolbox, but something you may need is called a gas can. Size radio network. Yeah, gas can to so many. That them broke down on the side of the road, and they just need some gas. They need some fuel added back to them wherever they may be. Thank you for on demand through the iHeartRadio program and Blog Talk. Thank you. That's my plug. That's my plug. And you can send your payments to $ Pastor Bonnet. Amen. But anyway, he fills our emptiness with God's presence. Wow. The Holy Spirit fills. And his job is filling because he's always doing it. Because we're always using it. Amen. Mm-hmm. In other words, some days I'm real strong. I can endure a whole lot of stuff. But there are days when I'm tired. Ooh, man, don't try me today. Mm-mm. No, that ain't the day to try me. You ain't gonna have that same level of patience nor understanding. Why? Because I'm on empty. Empty. Don't make my load too heavy. So he fills our emptiness with God's presence. What does God's presence do? It brings back my joy. It gives me the strength I need to keep on living. Because he reminds me, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before he developed me in my mother's womb, he had already ordained, that means authorized me for a place and for a purpose, for a set time. That means my life has purpose. My life. I don't care if my mama had me out of wedlock. My life has purpose. I don't care if I came from a broken home. My life has purpose. I don't care if I was abused, misused. My life that God wants to get the glory from.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that I'm here today says to the enemy, you meant it for evil, but God will mean it for my good. He knows how to take the brokenness and make it well. Why? Because he's a great tool master. He's the great tool master. Y'all know the story. Y'all heard it growing up. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men, all the king's horses, none could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Let me add to it. But there was somebody that says, let's take Humpty Dumpty to the king. And when Humpty Dumpty got to the king identified him as the egg he made. And although the pieces were shattered and broken, and it seemed like the yolk was blended in with other stuff, the Lord said, the king said, I know how to separate it and put it back together. In fact, this part goes here. This part goes there. Let me put a little love here. Let me smooth it down here. And before you knew it, Humpty Dumpty was able to sit on the wall once again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe you've been pushed off of your wall. That wall is a place of comfort. That wall is a place where you thought it was all right to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And God is able to restore the brokenness. Maybe she let you down. Maybe he let you down. And your heart was broken. Well, there's no better heart mender than the Holy Spirit. And he will mend the broken heart. Because although the heart itself is a muscle, it's an organ that pumps blood through the body, it has a function to keep people alive. It can hurt in ways that no heart surgeon can ever detect. The heart monitor that monitors the beat and don't even register why it's beating is still hurting. Sometimes we're in life and we're going through life and we're hurting, but we're smiling. But nobody know that you're broken on the inside because they see you smile and you wear it well. But the inward is a broken that you can't put your hand on. I can remember six as a young man in school, high school. I was hurting one day. I allowed a lot of things to get to me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And got the better of me without me knowing it. And my teacher said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I'm all right. I said, no, something wrong with you. And told y'all, I'm a brown man. But I was that light brown. But they was telling me, you're turning red. And I was still smiling. But I was turning redder and redder. And they said, something got to be wrong with you. To finally, I had to admit, pressure in my head felt like it was going to burst. I couldn't cry. all I can do is just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And they called my grandmother, and she said, let him come home. And I walked to her house, caught the bus, got there to the house, late, caught the city bus outside the school because it ran on the bus line. Got home, laid there, just hurting. I never forget it because this is the one time I made a promise, not just to God. I made it to myself. That no matter what happened in life, I would never let anything hurt me this bad again. It got close. But I had to promise myself to not let things overwhelm me till I couldn't breathe, till I couldn't think, till I couldn't move. I couldn't function right because of the worries in my mind. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives to fill our emptiness because sometimes we're just empty inside. But he just don't fill it with anything. He fills it with the presence of God. That's why the worship experience is so important. But they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit comes to do is he restores our fellowship. You know you love God, but you haven't really read your Bible lately. You know, you haven't really been praying like you should. The Bible said men are always to pray and faint not. And you, if you told the truth, it's been a while since you stopped and really prayed. I ain't talking about begging God for this and that. There's a difference. Praying is not you trying to change God now. I'm going to say it again. Praying is not you trying to change God's mind. Oftentimes when we pray trying to change God's mind. No, true prayer is the development of that relationship because your prayer should be either petitioning God for or on the behalf of, or your prayer is to line you up with God. That's what it is to pray. That's what it is to trust God. Period. So he restores our fellowship with God. Sometimes we've been out of the mix. We've been out of church for a period of time. We've been out of social functions for a while. And shame, the demon called shame. Hear me well. I called it. I mean it. The demon called shame comes over us. And shame won't allow us to reinsert ourselves because I don't want nobody talking about me. Let me be clear for you. Them people, and it's the nicest way I can say it. If we wasn't over the air this way, I'd tell it to you a different way. But since we're over the air, I'm going to be politically correct. Them people don't have heaven or hell to put you in. Stop studying whether or not they talk about you.
Amen.
They can say what they want to about you. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. We're going to go through something. Whoever told you that being a Christian meant that you were going to have all sunny days, let me be clear, without any remorse, they lied to you. What, preacher? They lied to you. Period. Bad things happen to the children of God. Unpleasant things happen to the people of God. Joseph, 17 years old, obeying his father, who sent him to see how everything was working out, to handle the family business, the hatefulness of his own brother, not strangers, not bandits, his family, the people that had the same DNA as him. They all from the same father, his family. Amen, somebody. His family hated him.
Amen.
His family abused him, sold him. Him being free, his family sold him into slavery. His family threw him in a pit. His family And in that pit, he probably cried out to his brothers, why? Why are you doing me like this? What have I done? What wrong have I done? I didn't steal. I didn't lie. I didn't cheat. All I had was a dream. Oh, my God. All I had was a hope from God. I didn't ask God for it, but he told me. And now you want to end my life because God favored me? Times in life, we're broken because of the deeds that were done against us. To a house that's built, it's built to stand, it's built to weather the common storm, but every now and then a tornado or hurricane, lightning storm can come and does irreparable damage. And although the storm may only last for a moment, the cleanup process for some can take a lifetime. The cleanup process is so much more intense because you need some tools. you need some tools to put things together. But before you can put things together, you got to scrape everything back up. You got to clear out that which has been damaged. You got to throw away that which is unusable. The process here is so much more intense. So what tools are in your toolbox? What tools can God use to create a godly character in us? Tools do you have that gives us order and remove chaos? What tools do we have that fills our emptiness with God's presence? What tools that we have that restores our fellowship with the Father? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tomorrow night, we're going to go through this Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through where I'm going to stop at. But for now, for the sake of time, I want to start there, chapter 12, verse 7. We start here with the word but. So tomorrow we'll back up and see what the but was there for. Lord willing, say the same. But the manifestation, I'm reading the King James Version. You're welcome to read the version you have. It has the same meaning, or should have the same meaning. But these are some points that I need us to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. With all. P-R-O-F-I-T. Now, this profit here is not just talking monetarial, because you can be rich and still broke. Rich people die because they're not filled with God's Spirit, and they're lonely on the inside, and that's why they commit suicide. Famous people are on drugs because they're trying to escape their reality, because they're not filled with the Spirit of God that gives them inward peace. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So when you're not peace and you can't find peace in your life, that says simply your mind is not on God. Period. I'm not condemning you. I'm not calling you a bad person. I'm telling you, your peace can't stay with you if you don't allow your mind to stay with God. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. If I have to make it stay, it's like talking to my dog. I tell him to sit, and he may sit down, but then if I walk away and he stands back up and walk towards me, he didn't stay. And so I'm telling him again, sit, stay, trying to get him to stay in one spot, but he's excited, and he keeps moving here and there. And so sometimes God wants us to stay, but we get excited. and we keep moving. Every church is not for everybody. I'm going to say it again. Every church, and I know you're saying, but then that makes sense, okay? So every job is for everybody? You didn't pass high school. You think you can go and be a brain surgeon? So every church is not for everybody, just like every job is not for everybody. You drank too much coffee. You can't be no brain surgeon because your hand's going to shake.
Okay.
And if your hand is shaking, you working on my brain, you're going to kill me. You doing delicate surgery on my body, you're going to kill me. Surgeons don't even drink coffee or any type of caffeine because although you may feel good from drinking coffee, there's an undeniable effect that caffeine has in the body. It can't be denied. I remember one time trying to deny it. So I said, hold your hand out. I said, man, what? I hold it out and said, man, what? I said, let me see how I stretch your hand. And I'm holding out. And to myself, I'm looking at my hand like, okay, I'm still, man. But then they put a piece of paper on top of it. Man, my Lord, have mercy. The edges of the paper was just a moving like the wind had got a hold to it. It's the wrong hand. Changing hands and thinking I can, you know, thinking I'm steady, thinking I'm not moving. But that paper told a different story. Sometimes we think we got it together until that true magnifying glass get a hold of it. And we see that there are things working within us that we don't even understand. That's why this yearly theme was Proverbs 23, chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Sometimes you got to buy the truth about yourself. You know if you got addictive habits, there's certain things you ain't supposed to do at all. You know if you have a short fuse, there's certain conversations that you don't need to be in. You got to buy the truth about who you are in order to be better as you are. But if you keep thinking that you got it together, that you are right, and you don't need the Holy Spirit, you just lost. You lost. Yeah? If you didn't lose, you lost. Why? Because you weren't operating in him. You were operating in you. Christ, we win. But in myself, there is no good thing. Amen. But I'm a good person. I push all that. In my flesh, there is no good thing. My flesh is from the world. My flesh is from the dust, the dirt that shall decay. My flesh is part of the curse. My flesh is enmity against God. My spirit, however, which I am, love God. My spirit, which I am, but I'm in the body. I'm in the body. I love God. The Bible said, oh, wretched man that I am. When I would do good, what was present? Evil. He said, man, Paul said, man, when I wanted to do good, I couldn't because evil was there. The good that I would, I did not. And that what I didn't want to do, that I found myself doing. So I found working within me two laws. What are laws? Things that govern. I found within myself two laws. Now, we ain't going to say that because that ain't our subject. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if there's two laws working in me, I need the Holy Spirit to tell me what law I need to be obeying. I need the Holy Spirit making sure that I follow the right law. When my brother was in the streets back in the early 90s, early 90s, I used to tell him this because I couldn't stop him from doing what he was doing. I used to say this to him. There's a right way to do wrong. I know y'all don't like it. I couldn't change his mind. So I told him, don't be stupid and doing wrong. There's a right way to do wrong.
Amen.
Well, amen, somebody. I was waiting on it. Thank you. Our daughter. God bless
amen.
You. Anyway.
Amen.
So let me move on.
Come on, Pastor. Preach it.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm about to let y'all go so y'all can go and start dancing and on some good gospel music and have some good fellowship. I'm about to let y'all go. I know I'm supposed to be in my meeting, but I don't know if they're here or not yet. So I'm enjoying this myself. You know, something about when you're cooking good in the kitchen, you the food smell good, you're tasting everything. So everything that I'm telling y'all, I'm tasting it. I'm tasting it for my one self. Why? Because if it ain't good to me, it ain't good to you. Glory
Amen.
To God. And so I need it to be good for you. I need it to be good for you so that you can enjoy what it is you're trying to do. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Somebody say that's a tool. Wisdom is a tool. To another, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Knowledge is a tool. By the same spirit. So this hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So when you talk about different God, none of that foolishness. The same Holy Spirit is giving these same attributes. To another, faith. So faith is a tool. Wow. So if faith is a tool, that means it's something that you must use on regular. Mm-hmm. Much like a screwdriver. Mm-hmm. A screwdriver comes in different sizes and two different types. There's a Phillips head and there's a flat head. We ain't going to talk about that. We're going to keep on moving. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing. Healing is a tool. The gift of healing is a tool. The gift of healing is a tool. By the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. Wait a minute, preacher. The working of miracles is a tool, yes, and because you are born-again believers, you may have access to these tools. It by the use of your hand or the use of somebody you know, and maybe your neighbor. You know, your neighbor got tools you ain't got. So sometimes just getting your neighbor to participate in what you're doing can change your world. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is a tool. To another, discerning the spirit. Ooh, my spirit discerns something. Come on. There's always something going on. To discern something, no, you need a discerning spirit because you need to identify what spirit. See, I just knew something wasn't right. My spirit. Period didn't agree. Well, what was it right? And because if something wasn't right, and you had the ability to make it right, why didn't you? Oh, yeah, man. Hey, keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
We're just doing all right now. Discerning spirit to another, diverse different kinds of tongues. Wait a minute. Tongues? Speech. Different kinds of speech. Two.
Come on.
That means the word that comes out your mouth, mister, is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw your hammer at nobody. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. To another
I'm
interpretation of tongues, mm-hmm, the understanding of language, the understanding of speech. But all these work that one and the same spirit, dividing to every man. Wait a minute. God said, my children, y'all need some tools to make this world a better place. I'm going to give them to you. Here's nine of them. I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to divide them to every man, to every man. So everybody got a tool. But do you know how to use the tool that's in your box? Your toolbox. Your toolbox, that's you. To every man, several, as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and then all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, were all the body, but now are many members, yet one body. My Lord, I got to stop there. I got to stop there. Because it's getting good. It's getting good. I'm in this park. I'm about to have church right here in this park. I'm about to get out of the car and just go ahead and preach the rest of this at this tree. Glory to God. Because it's just that good. So, we need tools. God has given us tools, things we need to build, and there's some things we need to fix. God has given us tools. There's some things we need to build, and there's some things we need to fix. He's given us word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He's given us faith. He's given us gifts of healing. He's given us prophecy. He's given us discernment of spirit so we'll know what spirit. He's given us diversity of tongue. That's different levels of understanding speech or language. And he's given us interpretation of language. He's given us the ability to understand. some people can't understand street lingo. That ain't for you. You know, so you ain't come from the street, so stop trying to act like the street, because the street will eat you alive. She ain't giving you that understanding, that's fine. Stay with the one he gave you. Anyway, this is what I have for you today. I pray that you enjoy the cooking. You are more than welcome to take home an extra plate. Share it with a neighbor. Share it with a friend. Most of all, just share it and enjoy. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to minister to you. Prayerfully, you received me today. I hope you have some wonderful takeaways from this message. I know that the message was good because I texted it. It was good.
Amen.
So besides it was good, what one part is not more than one that you enjoyed about it? You
well,
know, you go to somebody's house and they done cook real good. You're
yeah.
like, ooh, them greens was good. Them greens were sudden
mm-hmm.
up. Them greens were fire. They may have had a whole spread of meat, but you're talking about them collard greens because they were just that good. You know,
mm-hmm.
every now and then you go to somebody's house and they macaroni and cheese. Ooh, wee. You know, they the ones that every time you have an event that family coming to, you say, like they do with my wife, is that Keisha, you going to do the macaroni, right? They don't ask them no more. They put the suggestion out there like this. You're doing the macaroni, right? She's like, ain't nobody asking. You're doing, they ain't asking you because they're putting the demand on the anointing of yours that you have, amen. And so there's some things that you do that people will put a demand on the anointing. What's the anointing? The ability to complete, to finish, the task. There's some things that God has given you that's uniquely to you, and it's your job to finish. Don't just start. Finish. Finish what God
has
given you.
Pastor Bonnet, my kind of takeaway was actually a couple of them. First off, you were talking about the storms in life that kind of hit us, and you were talking about hurricanes, tornadoes. Well, sometimes the only tools that God leaves us left are the spiritual ones, because sometimes the tornado in our life could take away the physical tools and leave us with, nothing left to rebuild with other than the spiritual, and we have to depend on what he's given us in the spiritual realm. And then speaking of those spiritual tools, I was going to have you on this one. You were talking about street lingo and understanding languages. Well, yeah, I understand quite a bit of that, and I'm able to interpret the when the old drunk comes by going, yeah, it was so good. I can understand. Thank God that I took speech pathology in college a little bit, so I can understand. And I, even when I was in high school, I helped people that had speech problems. And so, so I'm able to understand them as well as be able to talk to them. So, so that was kind of interesting that you mentioned that. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, my takeaway was about this toolbox, given empty, but to just fill it up with things you're going to need in life, and don't let nothing expire. So just keep everything that we need tuned up in the toolbox. Might have to put a lock on it, but keep it with you at all times. And, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm looking for the continuation tomorrow. If you all has missed the message, later on you can check out this message. All you have to do is download the iHeart app or the Apple Music app, type in Six Eyes Radio, and follow us, and you'll have this on demand anytime you want it. Amen.
Amen. My takeaway was the 4 points of the what the Holy Spirit gives us, and I enjoyed you breaking that down for me.
Amen.
Yeah, that was good. I hadn't heard that one before, so I appreciate that. And then I was thinking about when you was talking about God gave us tools as well, and how I've always thought that we all had our special gift, and whatever it is, even the animals on the earth, everything has a purpose in this universe. So I thought that was just a great message, and I thank you. I thank you for always allowing God to lead you and to give us a word. And, oh, and then the other thing was in the beginning when you was talking about discipline and being in God's being in the house, you know, you're the owner of the house. And I was thinking, no. Okay, God is the owner of the house. And so,
that's right.
Yeah, that was a great message. Six, I hope you took heed to that.
Yeah.
He stepped all on your toes. You might not be able to tap dance this week, but you heard that message, didn't you?
Yeah.
You download.
I got to turn into Alonzo. I have to turn into Alonzo and get stuff, get stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Right. Can't say amen, say ouch.
Yeah.
For me.
Amen. And,
man, I'm complete.
I don't know if we have Tina with us, but Tina Smith should be listening. If you are listening, hope you're enjoying. Join the family. You're on Facebook, so all you have to do is join the Six Eyes Radio Network group page. Nikhil will show you how to do it.
Amen. We have another caller. I'm not sure who it is, but if you would like to speak, please press the 1 so you can join the conversation, and welcome to the show.
Who do we have? Who do we have? Press the 1. Come on down.
I'll be right back.
All right.
Yeah, they haven't pressed the 1. I can open the mic and see if they'll speak, but they may not.
Well, press the 1. What's the first number to the area code?
They 111.
All right, 111. Who are you? Let's see who you are. Welcome to the show. Don't be shy. Who is 111?
That's probably somebody that called in from the internet. Anyway.
Well, nonetheless, thanks for listening. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Nice to hear from Dalton, too. That was cool.
Yeah, yes. Always good to hear, Dalton.
So all right, are we ready for the Bloodhound?
Yes.
All right, then, here we go.
There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God.
Ooh, you notice? It says, there shall be no strange God, meaning a false God, in you, in your nation, or you shouldn't be worshiping a false God. And we'll hear that verse once again.
There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God.
And as we pointed out, you shouldn't worship that strange God or false God. Why? Because the Bible said so, and we'll hear that verse one more time for our listeners' sake.
There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god.
Psalms 81:9.
That is 100% correct. Psalm 81:9.
She was ready for that. Awesome.
I got
it
last week.
She sure was.
All right.
That
hold
is
on.
Correct.
Let me get this thing going here. It's kind of okay.
Get ya. Good job.
Good job.
Amen. And now for the verse you have to sniff out by next week. And here it is.
Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
And you notice it says, awake to righteousness and sin not? That's some pretty good information. And we'll hear that verse one more time.
Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
But the worst part is, the writer tells us some have not the knowledge of God, meaning the Word of God. And the writer says he writes this to our shame, meaning the children of God's shame. And we'll hear this verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. Amen. And a good little pointer, reminding everybody about our blind ministry. We are still working on our 24-point print Bible, as well as getting other types of Bibles out to blind people, and would always appreciate a love gift from you if you would be willing to help us out so we can get Bibles into those who do not have the truth of God in their hands. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we would like this show to be posted on the Six Eyes Radio Network group page. So whoever's in charge of that, have that message up there.
Amen.
Share, to other pages, your own very own pages. Share the message. That's what it's for. Amen. Now, tomorrow at 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 Pacific, our very own Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Get your week started off right with Motivational Monday. We have take-home bags here for the message today. We also have I'm Bonnet t-shirts. You can get those as you leave out. Amen. Amen. Always a great message. And we want to say rest in peace to Jim Brown. I want to send condolences to his family and friends and fans at this difficult time. Condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen.
You know, I'm very saddened about Rhodes' mom and her. And
yeah.
I was really sad, and I know the Lord will take care of them. I'm just going to pray quite a bit about that today. I really love her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's something. Definitely something, but you know, mothers are mothers every day, and even though they transition into the sky, they're still mothers looking down with energy. So they're still there.
Do I have time for a real short testimony?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to praise the Lord for how he's been helping me with my sleep and some things that are going on in my body. And I'm supposed to be getting an injection, but I'm beginning to wonder if the Lord will heal it before that. But we'll see what he does, because God's so much power. He can do anything.
Amen. Now, do we have anybody else on the board besides the 111 Skype caller? Is there anybody else that joined us on this beautiful Sunday on the Six Eyes Gospel Show? Where do you get your prayers on without leaving the house?
No. and I think, well, I was trying to post this, but I'm not able to. We'll talk about that later.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, with that, we're going to get out of here. Just need a closing prayer.
Well, why don't you give the closing
prayer? No, we're going to let First Lady Bonnet do that, if you would,
Father
First
God.
Lady.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're just thanking you today, Lord God. We're just thanking you for everything that you have done and what you're going to do. Lord God, we're just praising you, Lord God. But, Lord God, just give us the right state of mind, Lord God, even to receive the word on today, Lord God. We just thank you for Pastor Bonnet, Lord God, that you use him in a mighty way, Lord God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, help us to just receive this word and go forth, Lord God, this week, Lord God, being manifested in the Spirit, Lord God, because you said that we are one body, that we have faith, Lord God, the spirit of healing, Lord God, that the tools that you have given us, Lord God, they work a good thing in every last one of us, Lord God, that we'll be able to spread your gospel this week, Lord God. Lord God, we just thank you again, Lord God, for your tender mercy and your love and kindness, Lord God. We pray for the Rhodes family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you are, Lord God, loose your manifestation of peace upon them, Lord God. If they had lost their mother during Mother's Day, Lord God. Lord God, I pray you give them strength, give them hope, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray even for Sister Ruth, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, that she go to the doctor, Lord God, that you give her a good report. Because you say, who believe in thy report? We believe in the report of the Lord, that you was wounded for her transgressions and bruised for her iniquities. By the chastisement upon you, she is healed by your stripes. And anyone else is going through, Lord God, in her body, Lord God, that, Lord God, you do, Lord God, that you'll do a great thing in them and that you heal them, Lord God, that they are testified that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of that testimony. So, Lord God, we're just thanking you again for your grace and mercy that renews day by day. Lord God, we love you today, Lord God, and we thank you for the Six Eyes Ministry, Lord God. We thank you for Brother Ken, Lord God, Sister Ruth, Lord God, Sister Nikhea, Lord God, Lord, Brother Six Eyes, Lord God, and anyone else that's on here, Sister Emily, Lord God, and Lord God, even an evangelist that's always on here, Lord God, with us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and every person, Lord God, that have an ear to hear, Lord God, help us out. Let me hear, so God, but doers of your word, Lord God. And we're thanking you again, and we bless your holy name, for we magnify you, we glorify, and we exalt you from on high, Lord God. We love you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we forever will give you the praise, the honor, and glory. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen,
darling. Beautiful.
Yes. Well, we definitely don't need no music after that beautiful prayer, closing prayer. So we're going to get out of here. But we want to thank you for enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Bring a friend. Tell a friend. Share this on your social medias. You just enjoyed the best in online radio, the best in gospel, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And we thank you. God bless. We love you. You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
God bless everyone.
Love y'all.
God bless.